Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. Hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given our times of meeting on this Lord's Day, and we hope that you'll take the opportunity to come and be with us. You will always be warmly received. For the past few months, we have been studying the subject the kingdom of God. The reason that we're taking so much time in discussing the subject is that it is so greatly misunderstood and mistaught in the religious world. We're looking at the question, is the kingdom of God a spiritual kingdom or a physical kingdom? The human theology of premillennialism and dispensationalism teaches that when the Lord returns, He is going to set up a physical kingdom in the city of Jerusalem, and He is going to reign with His saints for 1,000 years on the earth. This is called the 1,000-year reign in the millennium age. Again, this is a misconception of prophecy scriptures, as we've already discussed in the book of Daniel, Isaiah, and also in Zechariah. We've also looked at the teaching in the Bible concerning the kingdom of God and showed its spiritual nature in the New Testament. And we have shown that the kingdom of God came in the first century on the day of Pentecost as it was prophesied by Daniel and Isaiah. For the past few weeks, we have been looking at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is a chapter used by premillennial thinkers and dispensationalists to try to tell us that this chapter has reference to the second coming of Christ. And all kind of fanciful conclusions and assumptions have been made from the teaching of this particular chapter. We have gone through the chapter verse by verse to show the context of the chapter and to show that its teaching centers around the prediction of Jesus Christ of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And we have been examining this, and we're down to verse number 23. This morning, we want to look at verse 23 through 28. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give out its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, we'll look at verse 29 by itself in just a few moments, but let's look at verse 23 through 28. We need to go back and compare the original questions that was asked by the disciples. In verse 3 of this chapter, as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, when he said, when will these things be, he had just told them that there would not be one stone left upon another of the temple. And so the original question centers around the events of the destruction of the temple, therefore the destruction of Jerusalem. Christ warns them that during the siege that we've already discussed in verse 14 through 16, that there would be some who would claim to be the Christ in verse 24. Twice in these particular verses, Jesus says, believe it not. In verse 23 and verse 26, there will always be those who claim to be Jesus Christ, to be the Messiah. They were false in that day. They are false in our day. The second coming of Christ will be personal and visible manifestation of heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse number 7, there is a very important statement made concerning the second coming of Christ. In verse 7 of the first chapter, I read, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. According to John the Apostle, When the Lord comes again, every eye will be beholding. It will not be an event done in a corner. The second coming of Christ, there will be no need to say, lo, he is here, lo, he is there, because everyone's going to see him. And so this cannot be referring to the second coming of Christ, because there will be no false sightings. When the Lord comes to return, not to set up a kingdom, but to judge and to reward the faithful and to punish the unrighteous, every eye will behold it. And so this cannot be talking about that, since there were going to be false signs. In verse 28, there's great difficulty in understanding the gathering of eagles. Carcass means a dead body. Whenever you have a dead body, it's referred to as a carcass. The indication here seems to be the death of the Jewish nation. When the destruction of Jerusalem comes, and the city is destroyed and the temple is destroyed, along with all the genealogy records of the Jews, then for all practical purposes, the Judaism and the Jewish religion is finished at that point. And that will take place at the destruction of Jerusalem. You can also see this kind of terminology in Matthew 21, verse 43, and in Matthew 23, 38, it talks about the desolation of the city. Just as a dead body attracts vultures, so would Jerusalem attract those who would devour her. Now, concerning eagles and vultures, let me read you a statement made by the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The Hebrew nusher, meaning to tear with the beak, is almost invariably translated eagle throughout the Bible. Yet many of the most important references compel the admission that the bird to which they apply to was a vulture. There were many large birds and carrion eaters flocking over Palestine, attracted by the offal from animals slaughtered for tribal feasts and the continuous sacrifices. The eagle family could not be separated from the vultures by their habit of feeding, for they ate the offal from the slaughter as well as the vultures. This understanding is consistent with the Old Testament use of the term eagle to describe foreign nations inflicting punishment upon the nation of Israel. You can read this for yourself in Deuteronomy 28, verse 49, Hosea 8, and verse 1, and Habakkuk chapter 1, and verse 8. This evidently is the vivid picture Christ is painting concerning the destruction of Jerusalem by another nation, that the eagles will gather together. She is going to be left like the carcass of a dead animal, and it's going to be picked over. That's what's going to happen after the sieging and the burning and the torching of the city of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. Remember, that is what's motivated this whole conversation, is when will that happen? What will be the signs that those things will happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? As we discussed in the beginning of our study of Matthew 24, there are three questions under consideration. We are examining the basic one here, and that is, when will the destruction of Jerusalem take place? Now, in verse 29 through 31, much speculation has been made about these verses, and the millennial thinker and the dispensationalist and those who want to fantasize about the book of Revelation, which we will examine later, use these verses for all types of speculation and theory. Well, let's just look at what the verses say. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give out its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, what is this signs of the sun, the moon, and the stars? Many think that the language of these verses can only apply to the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. However, consideration of the context and the language is used in other passages to show that such symbols are used to articulate the destruction of nations, or sometimes commonly referred to as judgment language. In verses 29 through 31, it talks about the events that were to occur immediately after those days, Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. What is the tribulation of those days? That is the besieging of the city of Jerusalem. That is the impending destruction that is coming. And after those days take place, after those days transpire, then he begins to use some figurative language. There is difficulty incurred in trying to apply the first part of the chapter to the destruction of Jerusalem, but then these few verses to the second coming. The problem with it, it takes the verses out of its context. It's not the context of the passage. And so it confuses and it lifts him out of the setting. Verse 34 says that all these things would be fulfilled within this generation. Again, when we will talk about that verse, but that's an important verse in its context. Everything that he's discussing is going to happen in this generation. The language used here is the same type of language used in Isaiah 13 and 10 and Ezekiel 32, 7 and 8 to speak of the downfall of Babylon and Egypt, respectively. Certain such language would be fitly described the downfall of the chosen nation of Israel. You could also reference Joel 2, 28 through 32 and also Acts 2, 16 through 21. Other passages that you might examine is Revelation 6, 12 through 17, and chapter 8 and verse 1. These passages in Matthew 24 determine judgment language. God is making a judgment against the nation. In this particular case, he's making a judgment against the nation of Israel. And they are going to be punished for their continual disobedience to God. Now, what about the Son of Man coming in the clouds in verse 30? Note, this verse speaks of a sign and not the personal appearance of Jesus himself. This is spoken as a sign. What was the sign referred to by Christ? Could not this language refer to the judgment of God upon Jerusalem in destroying the great city? Nothing in this language indicates a personal return to Christ on the earth. Matter of fact, no passage in Scripture gives any reference to Jesus ever physically returning to the earth. Similar language is used in Isaiah 19 and verse 1 to indicate the Lord's judgment against the Egyptian nation. Other passages that use similar language to indicate judgment upon a nation can be found in the book of Psalms, chapter 97, verse 2 and 3, and Psalm 104, verse number 3. Note the language used to describe the coming of the Lord's kingdom in Matthew 16, 28. This is not a personal visible coming, but a coming with power. We can read that in Matthew 26, verse 64, and also Daniel 7, 13 through 14. All these things were to come upon this particular generation. And so what we are seeing here is judgment language. God is going to render a judgment against the nation of Israel. And it's going to conclude in the destruction of the city and of the temple. And when after these things take place, the signs are given to show that this is a divine judgment. This is signs that are figurative in order to depict a judgment made by God. It is consistent with other judgment languages of the passages that we already gave for your consideration. Please consider and never forget that this discussion is centered around the fact that Jesus is predicting the destruction.